Hey, it's Jordan Johnson, and you are listening to the Grove Podcast. We've got a very special episode today with Louis and Shelley Giglio. As you most likely know, Louis is the global pastor of Passion City Church, and Shelley is, of course, our fearless leader here at the Grove. And at the time of this recording, we are in the midst of a global pandemic with COVID-19 and have been quarantined for weeks. It's truly an unprecedented time for the entire world. So today, Shelley and Louis sit down for a candid discussion about what it's like to be leading the church in these days, being human in the midst of it, and where we go from here. So here's Louis and Shelley Giglio for the Grove Podcast.
Okay, so I have my favorite guest today on the Grove Podcast. I really do think this is my most favorite Grove Podcast ever. And guess who it is? It's Louis. So thankful you're here.
Compliment, babe, because you've had some very, very, very favorite, I would say many favorites on the podcast.
It's true. I do have it. The beauty of having a podcast is that you get to pick your favorite people. And then you get to speak with them and talk with them and encourage them. And it's been such a gift to me.
Who's
for sure.
Who's been your least favorite person you've had?
That is so not fair. I don't have any least favorite people, obviously. I love everyone.
Thank you for having me on.
But I will say that having you on the podcast, A, from the fact that you are our pastor of The Grove and of Passion City Church, and obviously, it's a gift to have you because of that. But being my husband and being able to live life with you makes it all the more fun.
It's the best podcast I've ever done. I'm looking across at you, and it's just fantastic.
That's kind. Hey, we are in the middle of some quarantine, and it's an interesting time to be alive. In fact, we just took our masks off right before we started recording this. And because we're trying to abide by all the rules and want to be rule keepers in this and want to lead the way for people to do the right thing so that we can hopefully save many, many lives. But also it's caused some interesting tension in the world. It's been an interesting time to be alive. It's been an interesting time to do ministry together. It's been an interesting time to lead the church. Talk for a second just about what this time period has meant and what it's looked like and how you feel like we can not just survive it, but thrive in it.
Well, that's a lot to think about. You know, we're about a month into, for us, shifting from coming to church on a normal Sunday to everything's different. Church is different. Our gatherings are all different now.
Yep.
We're just over a month into that. And I feel like on the front end of it, we just weren't ready. And I think that's the big lesson that I'm hoping to learn coming through it and out of it is we've got to be a little more ready to shift and to move with what's happening, not just in our city or cities, but in the whole world. And we were all looking over at China thinking, that's far away, that's not our issue, that's not going to impact our lives. And within a few months, everything is different and probably will be for a long, long time.
Yeah, what do you think you could have done to prepare better for the unknown?
I think a lot of people listening to us, babe, will relate to this because we're people of faith. And people of faith don't just read headlines and then go, oh, that's what the news said today. That's how I'm going to live my life today. People of faith look to God first. They look to the Word first. They look to Jesus and they say, how should we live our lives? And I think as these waves were starting to come, a lot of people of faith were saying, God's going to get us through that. God's going to keep us in the midst of that. That's not going to really impact the church because the church can't be stopped. And we were maybe a little too busy being super positive about our faith, and we weren't being as realistic as we needed to be about the threat that we actually were about to experience. And honestly, if someone asked me the other day, what do you wish you had done differently? And I said, I wish I had led and not followed. And leading would have meant for us, you and me, saying we're going to stop gathering people at Passion City Church about 3 weeks earlier than we did, maybe a month earlier. And realize, besides the soccer team in town, the basketball team in town, we're one of the largest aggregators of people in the city of Atlanta. We are putting people at risk as much as anybody else when you get as many people together on a Sunday. And I wish that the church had been out front, all of us in the church, saying, hey, we want to serve our community, protect the vulnerable. We want to be in the Word and be people of faith, but we also want to understand what the real world requires of us. And a little more leadership like that, I think, would have put us ahead of the process. You and I sat in a lot of meetings, and we were making decisions like quick real-time decisions that were affecting thousands of people's lives.
Yeah.
And after a 45-minute meeting would be over, everything that we just talked about became obsolete the moment the meeting ended because of the next quick change that happened. And that happened a lot at the front. So you and I now are trying to leapfrog way out into the future and to try to stay ahead of this and not feel like we're the caboose the whole time.
Yeah. I think that maybe you did a better job of leading than you thought you did. And I definitely would agree that we could have been ahead of some things and probably foreseen some things and responded to things sooner than what we actually did. But you were one of the leading churches in our city that was willing to say we're not going to gather and to facilitate gathering people in a different way than what we had historically been doing. And we've seen that shift be dramatic. We've seen it be powerful. We've seen it be interesting, and there have definitely been some hurdles to overcome. Talk a little bit about what it looks like now to be a church gathering in way greater numbers, but obviously not sitting together on rows or in buildings.
Well, it's taken us back to the beginning, right? I mean, Acts happens, and our story begins, and it all is happening in homes. And there is a great assembly. There are moments where there are thousands of people gathered together. But by and large, the church was born home by home by home. And in Western culture, we've sort of turned that upside down in the last 50 to 100 years. And it's we gather on Sunday morning in big gatherings. And yeah, it might work in the home, but maybe not. And that's not saying that a lot of homes aren't filled with worship and filled with great Bible teaching and filled with the Spirit. It's just that a lot of us substituted what should be happening day by day by day in our homes with this big gathering that we all could sort of check into for a little while and then check back out. And obviously that has all been turned upside down. And we are back to thinking about what does the church look like, but the beauty in it. And there's always, you know, Crowder's line, Jesus, take the beauty from the pain. Man, that line, I bet, has come through my mind every day through this crisis. What is the beauty in this pain? And there's a lot of pain in this current climate. And one of the beautiful things is, you know, we talked about it the other day, Charles Dickens, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. And this is the worst of times on a lot of levels, economically, people losing life. But it's the best of times for the gospel we've ever seen. And we quickly moved our gatherings online because we had spent an entire year getting ready to do that in 2019, and we hadn't made the decision yet. But when it came time, our team was already pro. And we instantly just took the story and the message of Jesus online. And what that allowed us to do was to reach not just a few more people, but an astronomically greater number of people.
Yeah.
And we have been able to reach hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. And I think the number I heard yesterday on our Easter gathering, 151 countries were linked in to our Easter gathering.
Just unbelievable, yes.
And something we couldn't have imagined, you know. We were talking months before about the number we would have believed for Easter gathering, the number of people we wanted to see come to know Jesus. That what we saw because of coronavirus was 50x what we would have dreamed about being an amazing Easter Sunday.
Yeah, so that is some of the beauty that's in the pain, and that is some of the redemption, I think, that God is showing us instantaneously that he's actually at work and that he is doing things, even though it looks like that we're at a standstill. So it looks like we have to stop. It looks like we've all stopped. And yet, God is building what he promised he would build, and he's doing a really good job of it. And somehow he's letting us see enough of it, I think, to have greater faith for the days that are ahead. And I think it would be cool just for you to talk about a little bit what you see the days ahead looking like. And obviously, I think you're prophetic in so many senses of the word. You understand and see God, and maybe for people see what God might be doing, maybe ahead of some of us. And it's definitely a gift from the Lord, and I think it's been used in very fruitful ways in your life over a long history. So it's not been misused in any way, and I appreciate that about you. But I think also in these moments, we need to know what you're seeing that the church will look like, what our lives will look like, how we will be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 100 years from now. You and I talk a lot about the church 100 years from now. And I think it'd be awesome just to talk about that for a second.
Well, I think that the Lord would be honored if the church came out of this COVID crazy season so much stronger and brighter than ever before. And we needed that. I think that's that gets into that kind of philosophical, theological question of, did the Lord allow this? Does the Lord cause this? Why is this all happening? And I don't think any of us, I certainly don't have a definitive answer to that question. I know God loves us. I know God is good. I know God is here and He's with us. But the church needed and needs strengthening.
Yeah.
And it needs refining. You and I have watched a fair amount of HGTV over the past few weeks.
We love us some HGTV.
And one of the episodes of this show we were watching, these people found this old antique table in storage, and we're going to put it in this guy's house, and they were going to refinish it. And the process of refinishing it was 6 steps of sanding the top of this table. And they quickly, this all took 20 seconds on the program, but they explained it. We're going to start with the 80 grit, and then we're going to go to the 110 grit, then the 140 grit, then the 200 grit. And by the end, it'll be like we're rubbing it with a t-shirt. And when they got finished, the table looked phenomenal.
Yeah, beautifully restored.
Brand new.
Yeah.
But it needed some things sanded off so that that luster could come. And obviously, this climate is doing that in all of our lives, not just the church, but it's doing it to businesses and to families and to characters. And all of us are getting, if we choose to, put through the planing mechanism, which takes all the rough edges off. And I believe God wants a church that's strong and bright. And this is going to hopefully cause us to sink our roots down deeper again in who He is.
Yeah.
And it's going to cause us to have a better capacity the next time hardship comes. We're in a cycle, it seems like. And I'm, you know, an old enough person that we've come through a lot in 61 years of life. But I believe we're in a cycle now where we're going to see a lot of hardship. Australia seeing these terrible, terrible fires. Africa being completely devastated by locusts in the moment. Too much rain, not enough rain. This calamity, that calamity. And I think we're in a calamity stricken era, and there's going to be more hardship ahead, and the church needs to be that lighthouse that's on the corner and not trying to figure out, are we going to be okay? As soon as the lights go down, we need to be bright. And I think that's the process God wants to take us all through. And refine us, sand us down a little bit so that we come out looking brand new at the end of this. And so we're going to start shifting our conversation, as you know, around our house, our Passion City house, from we're going to make it through to we're actually going to thrive. You used that word. We're going to not just get through this, but we are going to come through this being better people, better followers of Jesus, a better church than we were before we went into it.
Yeah. What I love about our church, and we'll move on to a couple other things after this, but what I love about our church is watching the church be the church. And sometimes I don't think the church has a chance. It's perceived in the city or in the country or in the world as being a people that cloister up and are contained inside of walls and believe a certain thing and really don't have any effect on neighborhoods or cities in any form. And yet we've seen in these days of calamity and hardship where the church has really thrived and come alive, and how people are not just beacons when they gather, but they're beacons when they're scattered. And our church is scattered all over this city, over the cities of this country, and we're seeing that thrive in people, and people become bright in these moments of hardship. Talk about that for a second. I mean, how amazing is it to watch the people that you've invested all these years in become that?
How rewarding to realize that we don't have to be in a big building together to change the world.
Yeah.
Any one of us can change the world from our dining room table. And coronavirus and COVID-19 have made that a necessity, because we can't gather in hundreds and go out and do massive service projects in the city. It has to be block by block, street by street, individual by individual. And we've seen people be inspired, start meeting a need, rally people around, and all of a sudden we've seen little movements start all over the city. And I think it's beautiful because someone can be sitting at their dining room table right now and God could inspire them, and they alone could start a little mini movement that could impact people's lives right where they are. And we've seen that in our house. In fact, some of the big projects we're doing right now throughout the city of Atlanta have been inspired by just a few individuals who started small. Serve small. That's the era we're in right now. Right. Find what you can do and step in and make a difference in one person's life. And if we all do that, that's a major step forward for the whole city.
Yeah, I was able to go with one of my friends this week to serve people in a hospital, big hospital system here in Atlanta, where we're serving meals to the hospital and frontline workers. And such a privilege, I think, just to stand there. And one of the most encouraging parts for me was meeting people that go to our church or have been around our church or been exposed to our church who I've never gotten to meet face to face. And I got to meet this one girl. And when she introduced herself, the first thing she said about herself to me was that I just finished Launch, which, you know, is a program that we have with the church that helps people who are interested in Jesus learning more about who he is and how he might want to impact their lives. And it gives them a several-week process of learning about him and coming to their own decision about whether they and how they want to follow Jesus. And this girl had just finished Launch 3 weeks prior to COVID kind of setting in their hospital. And her first response to me was, how amazing is God's timing that he wanted me to have that foundation for knowing and understanding him so that I could walk through these days with him. And I was so encouraged. I just thought, you know, I might have been sent down here to serve meals to these people, which we've done a lot of. Thousands of meals have been served to these people. But the privilege of my life standing there in the moment that that girl was able to tell me that her life had been changed by just our simple obedience to do things like Launch was super encouraging to me. So the church is alive all over this city, I know for sure. And I have a feeling that that's true all over the world. I would love to talk about being married to me while we've been sitting in COVID-19 crisis.
Wow.
And I think it'd be fun for people to hear just sort of what it's like.
Is this where the counselor comes in?
Yes, she'll be here momentarily, or he, whichever is fine. I think just knowing that every person who's sitting in this moment is feeling some of that tension of, I mean, you and I have the privilege of working together every day, of being a lot in each other's worlds and same meetings and same environments. A lot of people don't. A lot of people have different jobs and different callings on their life within their family, and they go to different parts of the world all day, and then they come back together at night. You and I have spent a lot of quality time together. So tell me one of the things that you have appreciated about me and some of the things you definitely would like to change.
Yeah, well, people have asked me that. What is it? How are you guys handling the lockdown? And I'm like, man, we're locked down like all the time. We go to work together. We come home together. We eat our meals together. We go on walks together. We take the dog to the dog park together. We live together and do life together every single day. So not a lot has changed, honestly, in this COVID world, except for the fact that I made a gigantic mistake.
Okay, let's hear about that.
When we moved into the house that we currently live in.
And what was the mistake?
The mistake was a mistake I think that a lot of guys make. So if there are any guys listening to the Grove podcast, welcome along. I have a study at our home.
You do?
Because
you
a lot of guys nice do. They have like the man cave or they have the exercise room where they have their Peloton bike, or they have the place where they keep all their memorabilia, or in my case, my study where I go to prepare talks and blah, blah, blah. But you don't have a study in our house.
That's
and
true.
You actually don't even have an office in our house. You actually don't even have a legitimate bookshelf in our house.
I don't.
And so I can go up to the top of our house. We have this tall, skinny house. And I can go in my study and close the door and be. But you have commandeered the kitchen island.
The whole house is mine.
And we have a very skinny house with stairs that go up and all the way down. And your commandeered spot is directly in the transit zone for sound.
So many people have seen me on a Zoom cast.
I feel like I've been in every Zoom prayer meeting, prayer gathering. I've heard Christine Kane's voice, Priscilla Shire, Lisa Harper, you name them. I've been in every Grove
you're
meeting.
You're blessed, is
every
what I would
Six
say.
Steps meeting. I've been in all of it, and I can't get anywhere. So I've decided London and I go on a lot of walks when the Zoom calls happen. But I think it's been a lot of normal life for us. But the highlight has been your undersold skill at cooking.
Hey,
including the bolognese you made the other night, the meat sauce you made with veal and beef and Italian sausage, and then rocked out this lasagna that was lights out.
Aw, thanks. I feel very supported and encouraged by that because
Center Island desk commandeering, been hard to work around.
Yeah, I understand.
But man, are you not an amazing leader, and you can chef up some pretty great stuff.
Thank you. That's kind. Well,
as long as I'm out of the kitchen and out of the way, guys, I want to put that out there.
Yeah,
clear
I'll
the way.
Say, I will say one thing.
Clear the way. Shelly puts the cones around the kitchen and says, do not enter into this area. I am now working and I do not want to be interrupted. Don't get in my space.
I will say that the women listening understand that Louis is magnetized to wherever I am. And so in the house, as soon as I start doing anything in the kitchen,
Trump, here he comes.
And he is standing literally right next to me. And I already have a dog who stands on my feet, literally. So now I have you who is begging for space and her who is begging for
space. Your two dogs,
it's
man.
A lot.
It is a struggle.
It's a struggle. My two dogs. That's the truth. A couple of last questions because we want to wrap this up fairly quickly so that people can listen easily and not have to be labored into it. But
that's code for make your last few answers short.
Yeah, wind it down. No, I was thinking today just about all the anxiety things that you and I have walked through over the years. And I feel like a lot of people know your story and that you've had some anxiety, certainly constant in all of your life. But you've had a couple of moments where it was pretty much overtaking our whole life. And yet those moments, I think, have helped us walk through these days and prepared us for ways that we can walk through them better. And I don't really need us to revisit maybe all the things that happened and all the deep wells that we were in at points in our lives and how we can't honestly believe that we're sitting here leading ministry and with healthy minds and hearts in these days, given the darkness that we had to endure, but we're here. But I think it would be helpful to just see people where they are today and to know that there's a lot of despair and anxiety in our homes. And a lot of people are concerned about their future, but there's a difference between concern and worry. And can you talk about that for a second? Because that is powerful
stuff. I think that is a very, very, very powerful concept to get around today. And, you know, we're working on this message right now called It's Okay to Freak Out. And what we're trying to do is give people the freedom to be human, because God knows we're human. He says in His Word, He remembers our frame and He knows that we are dust. So God's not looking for superheroes. He is a superhero. He's looking for people who will let Him be a superhero in their dust.
That's it. Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the pressure that Christians feel is pressure that God isn't really putting on us, because I'll have to admit, there have been a few moments where I have freaked out in the last month where I've thought, man, this could be crazy, or I don't know how long this is going to last, or I don't know if I can lead an entire team or a whole movement, or are we going to have enough toilet paper, or do we need to go on a little panic buying spree? All of us have felt that on some level, but like you said, babe, you know, you and I have been hit with a lot in our life. We have taken some blows, not only my personal struggle and then because of us being married, our corporate struggle with my nervous breakdown or whatever it was a decade ago. But we've been hit with some hard blows in life, but yet here we are. And I think it helps in times like this to know we've weathered the storm. And so we're not going to give up on God now that we're in another storm, because we've weathered storms before. So what do you do? I think what you said is so helpful. You are concerned, and God wants us to be concerned. If your child runs out on the street, you should be concerned. If you lose your job and you just found out an hour ago, you should be concerned. And concern is trusting God with the situation that is real right before you. That's concern. God, here's the issue. I need to trust you to help me Give me wisdom, discernment, and peace with this specific issue. Right. What the enemy wants to do in my life is he wants to turn concern into worry. And worry is projecting into the future something that hasn't happened yet, that most likely won't happen, and certainly won't happen to the degree that the enemy wants us to build it up that it's going to happen, and then to spend all of our emotional energy trying to solve a problem that hasn't even happened yet.
Right.
Versus trusting God with a real problem that is right in front of us. And so I think God is reminding us every single day, here's the prayer, give us today our daily bread. Help me today, Lord, with what I'm concerned with today. Tomorrow has enough worry, Jesus said, for itself. So I'm going to leave that one until tomorrow, and I'm going to trust you to be everything I need today.
That's so good. And I do think just the clarity of your mind, of understanding the difference between, I think so many Christians are categorized as people who can't be concerned, when actually scripture talks about the lack of worry and not the lack of concern. We are very concerned Brilliant. People. And we have all of our concerns hopefully laid at the feet of Jesus, who can actually do something with those concerns. But we don't spend our energy worrying about things that, like you said, probably aren't going to happen anyway. And that is a difference maker, I think, in the way and the quality by which we live life. And so I'm so grateful that you could talk about that. Let's end today just talking about one thing, and that is, what is the kindest thing that you have seen somebody do for someone during this quarantine time? Hmm. Anything stand out?
Man, that's a... I think, I don't know if I could pick one thing, because we've had a vantage point of seeing so many people do so many right. different things to really care for people. There's a person volunteering their time as a door holder right now, sitting in a parking lot, welcoming people into a COVID testing center
yeah.
that's in our parking lot, because our parking lot's empty for now. That person is not getting paid.
Right.
They're not getting noticed. They're not getting their photo taken. They're not getting any cred. They're just sitting there, because if you drive up to a COVID testing location, you're already concerned. And this person had a big smile on their face, and that's kindness to me. Seeing someone load up meals like you were able to do and take them to one of the various hospitals in town that we're serving is extraordinary. And watching a restaurant owner dedicate and then commit to say, we want to help you by giving you these meals on a weekly basis to help you serve these people.
Yeah,
I think it's those little acts of grace that are not going to be headline makers, but they all together write a big story of God's kindness in people's lives. What about you? I think that's a great question. How would you answer that?
You know, I think my favorite thing was just remembering as I was standing with some of these frontline workers the other day, as meals were being delivered, and talking with them and being able to pray with them, that one of the things that God landed on me the most and had the most dramatic impact in that moment was that in a culture, in a day where we can't touch anyone, where we're really honestly required to stand 6 feet from people and to be masked up and certainly not to touch them and to wash our hands as often as we can and as thoroughly as we can and all the things. I was standing there looking at these people who are covered in masks, who have on protective gear of every kind, whose feet are covered, whose heads are covered. And I was thinking, they have the privilege of actually touching people in these days. And it is unbelievable that they can walk into a hospital room with people who are in dire situations and actually physically touch the people and wow. bring the touch of God to their lives. And I just was looking across the circle at them, and my eyes were full of tears, thinking, God destined your life for this in these moments, knowing that you would be one of the only ones who could. And you need to know that you're holding that privilege today. And even as I was just speaking that and praying that over them, to wash that over them and to have them realize what an interesting and beautiful place they stand in. And I think that's one of the most profound moments I've had in the whole thing, was not so much something I was providing or that somebody was providing, but just seeing the hand of God leading people to these moments where they're way more prepared than they think they are to do the thing that God's gifted them to do. And it's a beautiful thing to watch it all come together. So thanks for being with us today. You're the best. You are the best person that I've ever had on the Grove podcast.
Wow.
So
I'll take it.
All my friends will completely understand.
I'll take it. And shout out to everybody out there, like Shelley's saying, you know, someone's always going to chip in and say, but what about the truck drivers and the grocery store restockers and the firemen and first responders? To everybody,
yes,
who's out on the front lines making our lives what they are in these days. We love you and celebrate you.
Yes.
So grateful for you, and we're praying for you, and especially for those critical care workers who are literally in COVID-19 atmosphere every single day. Just praying the grace, the power of Jesus over your lives and through your lives, through your gifts and abilities, that people will live and not die. They'll have a story to tell about the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
Love you, babe. You're doing such a great job with the Grove podcast, by the way. It's killing.
Thank you. Thanks for being a part of it. We love you.
Love you.
Well, we are so grateful for Louie and Shelley's generosity to share with us here today. This is clearly a very strange and uncertain time to be walking through, but we really do trust that all God is showing us in these days will carry us into the days to come. You can check out the message Louie mentioned today called It's Okay to Freak Out on the Passion City Church channel on YouTube, along with many other amazing talks. Also, be sure to visit louiegiglio.com for more incredible resources from our pastor. And we'll catch you next time on the Grove Podcast.